a better opportunity to replace the whole building then. In Circleville, the results were similar. There's a couple additional components to Circleville that they could evaluate. So there were 68 categories they evaluated, 14 categories in critical condition. And these evaluations with all of the scores are on the school district website. You can go through those and ask whatever questions you have about the individual schools. We're also planning to do a walkthrough of both schools in the next couple weeks, or kind of like an open house. You can kind of come through, walk through the buildings if they want, take a look at those. So there will be an opportunity for that. But a lot of the same issues, same era for Circleville Elementary as Oscarson. Again, even the little addition on the front of Circleville Elementary, because it was so small, they weren't required to put a fire suppression system in it or the life safety communication system. And so a lot of those general building requirements didn't have to be met with that little addition there. The new buildings would be a combined 46,000 square feet, not a lot more than the current. The new buildings actually wouldn't have, like our current Circleville Elementary has one classroom per grade band. The new elementary would have one classroom per grade band. There's a couple rooms in the current buildings that are kind of closet sized, like special ed and migrant education and the library and stuff like that. That in the newer buildings, they would be a little bit bigger rooms to provide those types of services. But as far as there were rumors that we were building two first grade classrooms or something like that. We're definitely not building a building for planning for more students than what we have now. They're going to be roughly similar to the buildings we have, but just a few of the rooms that right now are a little hard to instruct in that would be a little bit more spacious in a few of those. So they would, Circleville, the additional square footage in Circleville would primarily be in this, the community really wanted a separate lunchroom from the gymnasium. And so that adds a lot of square footage to have a separate lunchroom from the gymnasium. Oscarson already has that in a separate lunchroom from the gym. And so that wouldn't be an additional there. Total budget for the project, $24.5 million. $18 million from state grant, $1 million in interest on that grant, $500,000 in a state safety grant, and then the $5 million revenue bond that we're voting on this November 5th. So that's kind of the budget for the buildings. And then there's Oscarson Elementary. These two rooms over here, I don't think were labeled properly on Oscarson. The one is special education. The other one would be music/art. So that's what those two classrooms on the end would be. Right now, Oscarson uses their stage for the library. So instead of using the stage, they would have an actual library. So that one would be one addition for Oscarson Elementary there. Okay, kind of getting into how the tax component ties in. So this bond isn't directly connected to tax revenue, but the state grant required two things. It required one, for us to contribute 20% to the project, $5 million, and we had to raise our capital levy to 0.00225. So because every school district had their capital levy at a different rate already, raising the capital levy to 0.00225 may or may not make it so that it equals out to the exact amount that you need to pay your matching bond. So for us, the matching bond is $5 million. Raising the capital levy to 0.00225 would generate $428,000 a year. That's more than what we need. So we can cut the high school bond out, pay the last 3 years of payments from that in cash, and then it also allows us in 2025 to lower the capital levy back down to just the amount we would need to make payments on the bond. So whether the bond passes or not, we would be able to reduce the capital levy in 2025. Obviously, it would be reduced significantly more if it doesn't pass. So that's kind of what we're expecting there. The terms of the bond aren't set until we actually go to issue. So as far as the number of years of the bond, the interest rate on the bond, some of those terms are not set. That's why on the ballot, you'll see the language that says like up to 26 years, up to 6 million, because the terms of the bond aren't set. We're just voting on whether or not we can issue a revenue bond. Okay, so just a little bit of history of property taxes in Paiute County. So the biggest one on the chart there is our tax increase for the Paiute High School addition in 2010. So we voted on that in 2009, 2010, the summer, we did a truth in taxation hearing. So the primary way that Utah has set up to do tax increases for property taxing municipalities is to do truth in taxation. That process includes a school district advertising the hearing, advertising what the increase would be, conducting the truth in taxation hearing, and then certifying that higher rate. The only exception to the truth in taxation process is if a school district does a general obligation bond, they can tie the tax increase to a vote, which is what we did last year with the bond for the consolidated elementary school. We can only do that once a year. Again, so last year when we did the application, we put that our vote would be for the consolidated, and we would do truth in taxation if that failed, and we went to the second application. So that was 2010 and 2007, or 2005, sorry, Paiute County did a pretty significant tax increase. They held the truth in taxation hearing, certified the higher rate. They used that, I believe, for increases in the sheriff's office. And so I believe they brought in another deputy at that time and maybe did some pay increases there in 2005. Then in 2006, 2007, in Circleville Town, 2011 in Marysville Town, I believe that was for their town building. They received CIP grant. They had to pay a portion, so the state didn't cover the full amount. So Marysville Town had to take on some debt, and they did a tax increase in order to pay that debt, and then they got the bond to pay the rest for their town building. Then Circleville did a truth in taxation in 2015, and then Paiute County School District in 2024. So kind of where that stacks up against others. So as far as neighboring school districts, right now there's 41 school districts in the state of Utah for 2023. Only six of those school districts have lower rates than Paiute County School District. We're definitely among the lowest taxed school districts in the state of Utah as far as the school district's rates. Among our bordering school districts, we were the lowest in 2023, the lowest rate. Sometimes that confuses people because they have friends that are in other counties neighboring, and they say, well, I think my bill's more than theirs is in this other county, and that's typically because of overlapping tax rates. So when you combine all the different taxing entities, so if we have Loa, Richfield, Cambridge, Beaver, and Marysville, if we had a home that was worth the same value in all five of those communities, the school district's portion in 2023 was the smallest in Marysville, but when you add on the county portion, the red, the town portion, the yellow, and other taxing agencies, the green, then Paiute County wasn't the cheapest when you add them all together. But as far as the school district goes, we're the lowest of the neighboring districts. Okay, so kind of one of the things that was a little bit confusing about the tax increase this summer is that because we're getting rid of the high school bond, that does take away a little bit from the tax increase, but the state of Utah doesn't allow us to advertise that as a decrease because the high school bond would have been paid off in 2027, and so that portion of the tax would have gone away in 2027, so we still have to advertise that portion as an increase, even though technically, so if you take the total amount that it said was the dollar increase, and compared 2024 from 2023, it actually wasn't, the two don't add up together. So this kind of shows what it would look like on an actual home that was valued at $186,000 in 2023 and $203,000 in 2024. So your tax disclosure notice in July
only shows this number, the increase in the capital levy. So it doesn't show the decrease in the bond levy. And so that's kind of why those numbers don't add up as well as we might like them to. But that's kind of how that one works. And one of the parts that makes it confusing as well is that the school district has four separate levies: the board levy, capital levy, voted levy, and bond levy, that all have different governing laws. But on your tax disclosure notice, it just shows one line for Piute County School District that combines all four of those levies. So that's also part of the reason that makes it a little bit confusing there. All right, so the actual ballot language here, this is what it'll look like. So again, the ballot is giving the parameters of the bond. The actual conditions of the bond would be settled at the time that we issue it, which would just be our interest rate, our years, and the actual amount. This is putting the limitations on that. So can't be more than 26 years, can't be more than 6 million. Currently, we plan for it to be 5 million for 25 years, but those are the parameters of the bond. Okay, and then we have a couple slides that kind of show the timeline, and maybe we don't need to go into detail on those, but that's available if you have questions about that. And then I believe that's it. So if the bond passes, then we anticipate that we would break ground on two new elementary schools in the late spring of 2025, probably as soon as school gets out, or maybe just before, in Marysville. And then if the bond doesn't pass, and either way, we would do a tax reduction in 2025. The tax reduction would just be larger if the bond doesn't pass. And then if the bond doesn't pass, we would reallocate that grant funding to another school district. So Garfield County School District is applying to rebuild Penglish High School. Wayne is applying to move their Loa Elementary School to Bicknell. And so essentially another rural school project will be funded with that grant funding. All right. Oh, and then Dallas is going to kind of give us a summary of kind of the outline of how we're going to conduct the public hearing portion of the meeting. There will be two opportunities to give public comment. So everyone that indicated that they want to comment, which if you didn't, then when we get to the end of the list, maybe we can call for anyone that didn't have an opportunity. Once we get through the list, we will read the official arguments for and against the bond. Then we will do another round of public comment after that. So we'll go through the list a second time, and if you want to give a second comment, you'll get another opportunity there.
So this first one's just for the public hearing, right?
For the correct.
And the next one will be for the or against or.
Yeah, and I mean, technically, you can say whatever you want on either one. I mean, on the agenda, like, it's listed specifically what the public comments are for, but technically, you can say whatever you want on either opportunity. So you can tell us what you're going to have for dinner if you want. It really doesn't matter. So, okay.
Okay, so we need a motion to go into the public hearing of the local building authority meeting.
I'll make that motion.
I'm going to do a roll call.
Yes.
So roll call.
I, Eric Jensen.
I, Teresa Morgan.
I, Jeremy Pearson. Okay, so now it's open to Dallas.
All right, I'll read this kind of some bullet points here of the public comment guidelines and procedures. Those wishing to address the school board should sign up to do so prior to the start of the meeting. Comment should be limited to 3 minutes. Those speaking on behalf of a group of people should be limited to 5 minutes. The total time for comments may be limited. The school board cannot take action on items brought up in public comments that are not on the agenda. Comments must be directed to the school board and not other members of the audience. Written comments may be submitted via email. School board emails can be found on the district website. Comments should be respectful and given with respect to the dignity and privacy of others who may be affected by their comments. Individuals who engage in inappropriate or disruptive conduct may be removed from the meeting. Personal attacks and profanity will not be tolerated. For a public hearing, comments should only address the topic of the hearing. Other comments should be provided at another time. Questions are welcome, but if there's a long series of questions, patrons are encouraged to schedule a time where they can go through all of their questions. The public comments time is not intended to be a time for debate or cross-examination. All right, that being said, we do have some people that signed up as they signed up to comment as they came in today or tonight. First on here, we have Garrett Clark.
I'm Garrett Clark. One of my questions is, Oshkosson, for the amount of students, that's an awful lot of money for students to build a building. And I don't understand how come it's so high. If you can tell us about that, okay.
Just about why the cost of the building is so high?
Right, per student.
Oh, per student.
Yes, you figure out how many thousands of dollars that is per student, that's a lot.
Sure, sure. Which is ultimately why we felt like the consolidated elementary was our most efficient option as a county. But our voters felt like they wanted that school in that community.
Whatever. And one other quick question is, who authorized the team, sir?
The school board.
Okay. Next on here that said yes would be Tyrell Ivey.
I'll try and keep it as brief as I can. If I ramble, I'm sorry. I have a lot of things I want to say and I don't know how to say them. Most of all, since the last meeting, I wanted to just offer my thanks and appreciation to the school board for the amount of transparency and openness. And I know a lot of people disagree with me on this, but since last year, there was a lot of debate on whether or not this was a money grab or whatever, and I agree with Kobe, last year's was a much better option. But to me, it seems that the school board is taking every opportunity they can to listen to the public. And there were some comments made at the previous meeting that indicated that not everyone believes that. I don't have any questions, but I do want to say thank you for taking that opportunity to listen, whether or not we agree, whether or not we disagree. Thank you very much for giving the community every opportunity to have a say.
Okay. I turned off,
yeah? Do you need batteries?
I just changed them. Is it got a green light on?
It's got the green light now. I don't know what happened. Sheila Camp?
Hi, I was just wondering, as far as the sizes of these schools, especially maybe Circleville, how many children is that going to accommodate?
About the same as the current building. So there's one classroom per grade band in the current building. There will be one classroom per grade band in the new building. So if you assume that in the current building we put 30 kids in every classroom, then you'd have 210 kids, which would be amazing, but we'll never get there. And so it would be the same in the new. So there will be one classroom per grade band.
Okay, so it's not 200 children per being.
No, I mean, like I say, technically you could squeeze 200 kids in the current building, but like that's not going to happen, and it would be the same with the new one. Technically, you could squeeze 200 kids in there, but it's not going to happen. So yeah, the only thing that, like I say, the rooms that are going to be bigger is like your special ed room currently is a little triangle shaped closet. The migrant room is a no window closet. Those rooms will be expanded to about half the size of a normal classroom. And so the same with the library will be bigger. There will be a commons area outside that'll be a lunchroom outside the gym. And so those will be the parts that'll make it a little bit bigger than the old building.
Okay, and also I was really wondering about not only the teen centers was mentioned before, but also the bus barn.
Sure, we got state money for the bus barn as well, and we also have a very talented mechanic that's able to do a lot of the labor himself. There has been some questions about putting the radiant heating instead of forced air heating through the top. Obviously, the radiant floor heating is more expensive on the front end, but it's more cost efficient in the long run. It's also, from the research that we've done, and maybe you've heard differently, that but for a garage with huge open doors, that the heat coming from the floor is going to be more efficient than trying to push it from the top.
Okay, and as far as the teen center, where does that fit in Piney County?
So the name teen center may not be the most appropriate. The thing we have above the door is the student center. The most used room we have in the building by the community is the weight room. So the weight room floor was busting out, and we had to take that floor out and bring it down. Then we received a grant to put some space above the weight room. So that space has a laundry room, food pantry for students that are homeless, which we do have a couple that live in trailer parks and need those services. We also have in that space a small classroom where we can do smaller instructional services. We can do team meetings, club meetings. We can provide counseling services when needed in that space. And so there's a lot of uses for that space. We also got storage space. We are getting written up by risk management every year by having certain items in the hall that we didn't have a place to put them. So by being able to create a storage space there, we were also able to check that off of our risk management checklist.
Okay, and financially, everything's paid for on that one?
Correct,
that
yes.
That will not come out of taxpayer dollars, correct?
Correct. So
same with the bus barn?
So yeah, those are state-funded projects. The teen center, or you know, the remodeled weight room and stuff, that obviously like was the upstairs was state grant funding, and then the downstairs we funded with fund balance, which was still state money but from prior years, if that's the question. So
thank you.
Keep shutting off on the door. I have Celeste Ham on here. She's unsure, but
I just have a question about the old buildings. Now, if this passes and you do a new building for these elementary schools, what happens to the old ones? Are they just going to be sitting there?
They will be demoed. So one of the comments we received most frequently last summer and fall was that they did not want to see old buildings that just sat there for 60 years like the old high school and the old Junction Elementary. So nobody wanted us to keep the old buildings. There was a couple proposals that were brought forward of other things that those buildings might be able to be used for. We did look into those possibilities, but there was no real merit to it. You know, for example, there was a proposal that was floated around and even taken to the Six County Association of Governments of converting the buildings into an assisted living center. The cost to convert school buildings that were built in the 60s into an assisted living center was more extensive than just building a separate assisted living center. And so there wasn't a lot of steam behind any of those proposals. So currently the plan would be for both of those buildings to be demolished.
So the cost of demolition and asbestos removal comes out of?
That comes out of the total budget price, yes.
Thank you.
Next we have Trent Wild. That's good. Joe Dalton. Okay. Tanner?
No.
Okay. Stacy Gass. He's right here.
I want to thank you, school board and superintendent and Dallas, for helping, be proactive about listening to the future for our children. I think we have a choice. We either go with the new building for our students, or we maintain what we have. To me, I think you've done a great job of getting us some good money from the state. I'm not sure that opportunity is going to come around very often. So on one hand, I think we have a bird in hand. We know for $5 million, we're going to have two brand new elementary schools that will last us for a very long time. And the reasons I think that is the way to go is it's going to improve our schools in a lot of ways. We're going to have state-of-the-art technology. It's going to improve our academics that way. We're going to have some rooms where our students can get better attention rather than having four special ed students in one little area trying to figure out having that individual attention. They'll have a better room to do that with. So besides all of those advantages, I don't know if we don't do this, when will be a good time. I think building costs will just increase in the future. I think it will just be harder for us to fund this in the future. So are we going to continue to maintain old buildings and spend our money there, or are we going to bond for new buildings and have something that is really great for our students? And just as a side note, a couple of weeks ago, a tile fell from the ceiling of my classroom, about 3 feet away from a student sitting at his desk. And I mean, we've done a great job maintaining an old building, but at some times, I mean, right there, how much will it cost to replace all the tile in their buildings, you know, because it's getting old. So I think that, you know, it's not a huge sacrifice for us. It's an inconvenience, the tax hike. However, for some, it's a big burden. And I just want to, for individuals who that is a big burden, look on the back of your tax notice to see how you can get tax relief when you qualify for tax relief. So my hope definitely is to go ahead with this bird in hand, and we know for $5 million we'll be able to have some good buildings that will sustain us for a long time in the future.
Thank you.
That is everybody who indicated that they wanted to speak tonight. Did we miss anybody who would like to say something?
Last time with them. When this all came about, and it was the first one that we voted on combining the schools, I wish, in my opinion and for myself, I wish more detail was put out there, because all I read on the ballot was combine schools, raise taxes, whatever. If you would have brought this to my attention this way with public meetings, letting us know what was going on, the conditions of the old schools, I think you would have been met with a better attitude, I guess, towards all of these changes. So, but thank you for putting this on for us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I do wish that we could have done more last fall. I do think that would have been helpful. I will give us a little bit of credit, though, in that we did hold a town hall meeting, we did hold a public hearing, we did discuss it in the August, September, October, and November regular board meetings. And so, I mean, it was discussed regularly with lots of public comment time, but, you know, there's always more we could have done, and so, yeah.
Everyone else who missed?
Close this part and open the So yeah, then we would just have the motion to close the public hearing for economic impact and open the public hearing for arguments in favor and against.
Okay, so we'd like to close the meeting. We'd have a motion to close the meeting for the economic impact project And then we need to open the meeting for the favors, against, or for.
Yeah, I'll make that motion, and I'll second that motion.
Okay, so all in favor, roll call.
I, Aaron Jensen.
I, Teresa Morgan.
I, Nisha Dalton.
I, Jeremy Pearson.
So now, and then we start that with the reading of the arguments, which I can do. Oh, you have it. Okay.
You want that or you want that other thing?
So we started this portion of the meeting by reading the formal arguments for the bond. So the argument in favor of the bond, the local building authority of Paiute County School District is asking voters to approve the issuance of $5 million in lease revenue bonds at the election on November 5th, 2024. The authority on behalf of Paiute County School District has a unique opportunity for school construction funding that has not been available for several decades and may not be available again for some time. In the 2022 legislative session, the legislature created the Small Schools Capital Projects Fund and appropriated $50 million to that fund. This money was intended to help small school districts manage the rapidly increasing cost of construction. More than 60% of that funding went to Wayne County School District for the consolidation of their middle school and high school. In 2023, the legislature again appropriated $50 million to this grant program. Paiute County School District competed with other school districts across the state for this funding and received $18 million in grant funding to rebuild Oscarson Elementary School and Circleville Elementary School. Passing this bond would allow Paiute County School District, through the lease of with the authority, to meet the local effort requirements of the grant. Not passing this bond would put the entire cost of the school construction on local property taxpayers. The two current elementary schools were built in the 1960s prior to most building codes. Neither school has a fire suppression system, modern seismic ready infrastructure. Both schools were designed before the internet, special education, migrant education was not part of local schools. The school board has carefully considered the needs and concerns of our community. Through a collaborative review and approval process, the authority, with the full support of the school board, voted unanimously to approve this bond initiative. With voter approval, the bond will help pay for a new elementary school in Circleville and Marysville. Since 2019, construction costs have inflated by over 47%. The school district cannot save money quickly enough to pay cash for projects given current inflation. The school district believes financing the new elementary schools will produce the lowest cost and cause the lowest tax impact to residents long term. After these projects, the school district does not currently anticipate any additional debt needs for school construction for 20 or more years. Paiute County School District thanks all the residents and stakeholders that have contributed to this proposal with valuable and timely feedback. The school district is focused on our constitutional role to assist and to be accountable to parents and families who bear the primary responsibility for educating their children. We ask for your help in taking advantage of this unique opportunity by voting in favor of the authority's lease revenue bond on November 5th, 2024. That's the argument in favor. The argument just appear on the district website. For state constitution things and stuff like that, they would appear in the pamphlet that the state puts out. That was an option for the school district. We chose not to include the arguments in the voter information pamphlet and tried to keep the voter information pamphlet as strictly informational as possible. There wasn't an argument against that was submitted to the school district. So we don't have an argument against to read, but we do now have another public comment section where any argument can be presented. And so we'll go through the list again using the same procedures as before, and you're welcome to provide any additional comments or questions.
All right, we'll start again with Garrett Clark.
He's good. Tyrell Ivey. Sheila Camp? You're good? Okay. Next we have Celeste Ham. Trent Wild. Joe Dalton?
No.
Tanner Dalton?
Yeah.
Yep, he's right there.
Thank you. You know, if this school, these schools pass, Dad and I are going to be all right. We're going to be able to pay the tax increase, because if we need to make a little bit more money, we can work a little harder and make a little bit more money. But last meeting, there was a the old lady sitting right down there in the front that told you that she cannot come up with another $300. She's retired, she's living on a fixed income, she doesn't know what she's gonna do. None of you replied, you just sat there and until she sat down and left. So what is your advice? What is your advice to this lady that cannot come up with $300 more to pay for the tax increase?
There is a circuit breaker program in Utah for low-income individuals, particularly those that are elderly and on fixed incomes, to provide tax rebates just for that situation. So if you give us contact information, we'd be happy to contact them and provide them with information regarding that program.
She was also addressed by, after the meeting, she was addressed by a couple of people that was going to help her with her taxes, so, yeah.
That's all I have to say, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tanner. Stacy, yes?
And that's what I was talking about.
Mike's coming right there.
That's something that's been on the back of tax notices for a long time. Those people who qualify for those tax rebates, tax relief.
Stacy, address the board.
What?
Address the board.
Sorry. They are able to find that information on the back of every tax notice to be able to see how, because no one wants it to be a burden on anyone. You know, sometimes paying taxes is not fun, but it's not, we don't want it to be a burden, and it's, but that's our portion to get. The state has been very generous in giving us a lot of funding for these projects. But for those who it truly is a burden, there is an option for them.
Okay.
Can I just say one thing really quick?
Yeah, you're signed up to speak, Joe. Go ahead. You know, when we talk about taxes, maybe what people don't understand is I'm not going to pay that tax. Stans, they're not going to pay that tax. Any business is going to increase their price of product, and it's going to be the old people that are paying that tax. And I mean, sounds bad, but that's how it is. I'm going to make what I make, and if I need to increase my prices, that's what I'll do. The consumer is the one that pays all the taxes, period. That's just how it is. So, thanks, Joe. Anybody else in this? In this round? Okay.
We just need a thank you.
Okay, so we thank everybody for taking part, and we need a motion to close the meeting.
I'll make a motion to close the meeting.
Yeah, a second?
Nisha
seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, meeting adjourned.
I would also just add real fast that anyone has more questions, I'm happy to stick around and answer questions. You're welcome to come by my office. I'm happy to talk as long or as much as we need to make you feel like you know what's going on. So, thanks.
And the board's willing.
And the board is also willing to do that.